seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2 and verse 20. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 2 and verse 20. Then answered I them, and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 2 and verse 20. Then answered I them, and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. There was much to truly exercise the dear servant of God Nehemiah at this time. But there were some very wonderful things given to him. First of all, the wonderful faith he was given to believe that those walls of Jerusalem that so lay waste could yet be built. There's no doubt he truly felt the burden of it in his own soul. You see, the people had been in captivity. The Jews were bound, and there was much captivity in the land, and too in Jerusalem, the city lay waste. The walls were broken down. The gates were burned with fire. The enemies were great. And yet the Lord had laid it in the heart of Nehemiah and Ezra and others that these walls could all be rebuilt. So the first thing is, there was living faith in his heart. You think in the solemn state we're in Zion, and the solemn state we're in as a nation, is there yet a grain of faith in the hearts of the Lord's dear people that the Lord will yet work? We think of that beautiful word in the prophecy of Isaiah. The Lord said, I will work, and who shall let it? And so often we find throughout the word of God and the Lord's people sweetly experience it. They come to the places, and they did in the word of God, where to look at things it looked naturally impossible. And there's no doubt, as Nehemiah and Ezra and others looked at the city of Jerusalem, it looked an impossibility that the work could ever be done. But you see, faith will look over all that which is impossible to him who can do all things. You see, the Lord never makes a mistake. Man is prone to mistakes. We're poor creatures of the earth. And it wasn't by chance that Nehemiah was brought to Jerusalem. And the second thing I would name is this. He was a man of much prayer. You know, it's a great value to a family. It's a great value to a church. It's a great value to a village or to a town or a city when there's one praying man. And you see, really, as we think of Zion today and the loss of dear Mr. Mercer, it is, you see, his prayers are now ended. Zion is the poorer. We're told the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and it does. But when those prayers are ended, we know that they can yet be answered in God's time. But you see, the loss is great. And in the case of dear Nehemiah, he was, and there was much to bring him, and may there be with each of us, much to bring him to the throne of grace in prayer. Firstly, the transgression of his own heart, the transgressions of the people, and how he prayed for the Lord's appearing. And then secondly, they had turned from the laws of God. They had turned from the commandments of the Lord. And when you look in the nation, that's what's happening in the land. For the most part, a real solemn turning from God's ways, from his word, and the trespasses of the nation are seen by the Lord, and our sin. But oh, how he prays, excuse me, how he prays for the Lord to appear. And as he prays firstly for his own soul. You know, there's a good prayer that if I remember rightly, is used by 18 characters in the Word of God. And that were a prayer of Hezekiah and the prayer too of Nehemiah and the dying thief and others. Remember me. Remember me. You see, the Lord looked on the solemn state of Jerusalem. He looked at the solemn state of the people. And yet Nehemiah longed for the Lord to remember him personally. Remember me. I love that prayer in the Psalms. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour thou bearest unto thy people. Visit me with thy salvation. And though the need of the city was great and the need of the people was great, he had to firstly come home to his own heart to examine his own standing. And But then, how were these worlds to be built? Well, there was much opposition. We have these solemn characters in Sanballat and Tobiah. They were adamant and arrogant that the walls were never to be built. And they were going to do all they could to stop it. Really, we may say they were good agents of Satan, weren't they? You know, if you've got anything that's real, whether it be in your soul or in your exercise, in your concerns, and that is of God, the devil will do all he can to try and overthrow it. And he's not short of agents. And here were two of them. But you know they were not to stop God's work. But you know, there's a point here we need to just prayerfully consider. You know, they hadn't come by chance. This was to further exercise Nehemiah and Ezra and others that stood for the Lord's ways and for the walls to be built. These enemies hadn't come by chance. It was to further deepen the concern and the exercise in the heart of Nehemiah. Oh, it was. And it was to drive him to the throne of grace, to pray his way along. We know it's a painful pathway when Satan attacks or his agents attack the child of God. But, you know, we need keep him down. We need to be kept dependent upon the Lord. And we need to be ever at the throne of grace. And this is where it was to bring him. And how wonderfully the Lord was to appear. And this text seemed to drop in with a measure of power, thinking of the service today. And before I name it, there's one thing that I want to just set before you, and it's this. And I believe if you and I have got a real religion, we shall be brought to feel it. And that is, Nehemiah realised how weak he was and how weak the people were. And you see, the more we're taught by the Lord our weakness, the more dependent we'll be upon him. You see, the Lord was to give him strength in his weakness. Oh, he was. And he was to give those that were to be used in the building of the wall, they knew so much their weakness, but he was to give them strength to do it. Oh, he was. And may we each, and it so rested upon me, be ever exercised that we may be of some use in the building of the walls of Jerusalem. I don't mean physically like they were, but you see, in the churches. We live in a day where we may say that in Zion that it's like Jerusalem, the city lay waste. Those ancient walls are being pulled down. But are there those willing to build them up? we find here recorded in this sacred book that they were willing to work. Oh, they were. They weren't willing to sit at home and say, well, it's all come, we'll let it get on and we'll go on without the walls. Remember, the city of Jerusalem was God's holy city. This is where the Lord dwelt. There was no place to David like Jerusalem. When the disciples were to be sent forth to preach, where were they to begin? In Jerusalem, God's holy city. We think of that beautiful word the Lord said to the dear apostles, didn't he? Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The old preachers used to say the reason they were to begin at Jerusalem was because Jerusalem sinners were the worst of sinners and it was they that needed the gospel. Beginning at Jerusalem. But oh, what a sight this must have been. They all lay in waste. It looked impossible that the walls could ever be built. Well, in chapter 3, you've got the list, and you can go through it at your leisure, of all those that were willing to build it. And I know what some are saying, oh, but we're so poor things, we can't do this and we can't do that. That wasn't going to build the wall, was it? Didn't matter how poor they were. I keep thinking, and I woke up this morning with it, and thinking of the city of Jerusalem and these that were to build it. Insignificant characters. But they were all to be used, and they all had a work to do. And I thought of what that little children's hymn says. May we lay it to heart this morning. I've heard people say, oh, we can never father the Lord. We can never cast in our lot. We're too poor. We're too helpless. And they use that as excuse. What does the hymn say? You in your small corner and me in mine. You see, these, some of them, ever so small characters, but unworthy, but the Lord was to use them. They all had to do their part in this building. Oh, they did. It wasn't going to be easy. But there's another solemn point we need to just look at before we look at the text, and it's this. There was much rubbish. Oh, there was. We read in chapter 4 how there was much rubbish. And we read, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Now, I'm no builder, but, you know, it's no use. You've got a piece of ground and it's full and covered with rubbish trying to start to build. The rubbish, you've got to be cleared first, hasn't it? There's much rubbish. And you see, let us look at it first concerning our own hearts. There's a lot of rubbish in us. The Lord will never build on rubbish. It's all got to be removed. And so it had in the city of Jerusalem. That the walls might be built. The rubbish had got to go. Why? Because it's useless. No good for any man. And you think in our hearts, the world in us, our carnal nature, our pride, our self-righteousness, it's all rubbish. It's all got to go. And this is what the Lord will do. We read, don't we? He empties whom he fills. This rubbish had all got to go. Our old nature's so much of the earth. We are creatures of the earth. We collect this and we collect that. We accumulate this and accumulate that. But you see, the rubbish must go. And the Lord was to do it in Jerusalem. He was to use these men to clear the rubbish. It had all got to go. And you think in our hearts, oh, I preach this to myself, Lord, take away all that that's just me, because it'll never stand when I come to die. What a stand when you and I come to die. It'll be God's work. Nothing else. Not what you've done, not what I've done. We read, you can read it in the papers of obituaries of people that have died, notable people, and it's all what they have done. I remember when Mr. John Green had to go into hospital and his pastor at Shaftesbury Avenue, the dear man, you know, was brought down into great deep affliction. And he had to go into hospital and have operation. And I remember the dear man saying, you know, he said, I lay there just prior to the operation. And he said, you know, I knew I may not come through if it was the Lord's will to cause me to pass from death into eternity, which it could well have been. But he said, you know, I couldn't rest on all my years of preaching. He said, I looked back there as I lay there before the God of heaven, and he said, the Lord had helped me to preach for all those years, but he said, that wouldn't get me to heaven. He said, all the years I was pastor at Shaftesbury Avenue, that wouldn't get me to heaven. Nothing that I have done, he said, will get me to heaven. The Lord showed him, that made it absolutely clear. He said, it'll be resting in the finished work of Christ. That's where my soul's got to rest. Not on my years in the ministry or my pastorate or anything I've done. It's resting in the finished work of Christ. What he has done, you see. What he has done. There was his salvation. And he said, you know, in that operating theatre, and as he came out of the anaesthetic, he said, I shall never forget the blessing of precious Christ suffering in my room, place and stead. There's my only hope. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You see, the Lord brought him right down. The rubbish must go. Anything of self or the flesh will never stand before the presence of the Lord. And so here the rubbish had got to go. And that was hard, you know. There's no doubt much labour went into it. But what does he say here? And it's this word of our text was spoken by Nehemiah to Sanballat and Tobiah. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven He will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. That was faith in gracious exercise. Believing the Lord would do it. But think of the solemn, and I feel I must name it. Think of the solemn position of those two men. What did the Lord record here? But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. May it really exercise each of us today which side we stand in this. Do we stand in the first part of the text, or do we stand in the second? The first part speaks of what the Lord will do. The second speaks of what the Lord will do. The first speaks of his wondrous work. The second part speaks of the solemn condemnation of these men and all those that oppose the walls being built. And they had even no right in Jerusalem. You think how solemn. We think of that solemn account, and I hadn't thought of naming this, but you remember when Philip was commissioned to go down to Gaza to preach to the eunuch, and how Peter was in the city and there was Simon there, the sorcerer. And he thought he could purchase the gift of the Holy Spirit by what he could do. He says, give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But then Peter said this to him. And Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Think how solemn it was with that man. You know, we often read that chapter, you know, and think of the wondrous case of the eunuch, but you think of that solemn case of Simon. And here we have the solemn case of these two men in Jerusalem. And they had no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem, God's holy city. But let us look just briefly at this first part. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. And dear Nehemiah believed it. And yet, you look at the impossibility of it all. Some of you may have got some impossibilities this morning. The God of heaven, He has all power to overcome all the impossibilities, like he did here in Jerusalem for Nehemiah. There are. The God of heaven. All power, you see, is given unto him in heaven and in earth. The impossibilities you have because of your sin, Lord, they're stacked up like mountains. They can never be brought down. Man cannot bring them down. The Pope cannot bring them down. He may think he can. It's only the God of heaven can remove the sins of his dear people. It won't matter how great they are. What does the hymn writer say? Sins immense as is the sea, hide me, O Gethsemane. That precious blood, you see, of Jesus can cleanse the blackest, vilest of sinners of all sin, the God of heaven. And you see, if the God of heaven is with you, poor soul, he will undertake to do everything for you, like he did for dear Nehemiah. But what I particularly wanted to look at just briefly this morning was this. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. Will arise and build. And think of building. And you know, as many lessons can be learned in it, if we think about it spiritually. And so there is naturally, really. The first, the rubbish must go. Secondly, there must be a good foundation. And we're told in the Word of God, in Matthew and the Lord Jesus and in the other Gospels, of the need of digging deep. Oh yes. A friend of ours in Norfolk, you know, his house, as he lived in the Fens, started developing tremendous cracks in it, and the whole building started to lean. And the insurance company said that it must be pulled right down to the ground. And there had got to be a deep foundation dug for the new one. And they had a drill to go down to see how deep it would have to go to get a firm foundation. And they drilled down 18 metres. And the reason why the original house started to crumble and to fall was deep down there was an underground river. Under it all. And they had to go 18 metres to get below this river. No man could see it. It was all underground. No man knew it was there. The house had been built for years before. But the point was this, and I often think about it, you know, and he said to me times, you know, the need of having a good foundation. So what foundation have you got to your religion and what have I? The Lord Jesus spoke of the man, didn't he? That built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not. Why? Because it was founded upon a rock. And then he uses the other side, the solemn illustration of he that built his house on the sand. The rain descended and the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Why? Because there was no foundation. Other foundation hath no man laid than that which is laid. And what foundation have you got, and what have I for our religion? Is it on Christ the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand? Building wholly upon him. And that's a very searching verse, isn't it, of the hymn where the hymn writer said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And what he's searching, he comes to this, he says, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And you think how many times we have, we may have a sweet frame while we're in the house of God. We may be have a sweet frame when we're reading the Word of God. Or we may have a sweet frame when we're speaking about the Lord's wondrous work. The hymn writer said, I dare not trust even that, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And this is where there's a great need of a good foundation. You know, the soul that has this good foundation upon Christ, the devil will never take them off that rock. It's impossible. The foundation sure is. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I remember speaking from that at a funeral in a General Baptist chapel in Cambridge once. I was asked to take a funeral there. And this lady, I knew her just as an acquaintance, but I didn't know anything about her religion. And the Lord gave me that word. And you know, I ventured to speak from it. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He never makes a mistake. He knows his dear children, and he will put them on this rock. So for them to build, they must have, you say, a good foundation. A firm foundation stone. Christ is the eternal rock on which the church is built. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. They were to arise and build. And you see, they had to build on that firm foundation. Where are you building today? Where am I? Oh, to be building wholly upon the dear Redeemer. All our hope for time, for eternity. We will build. And you see, they were all to be used in that building. Oh, they were. There's no doubt some of them were such weak characters, they could only move a small stone, but they all fulfilled part of it. Oh, they did. They were all used in it. And may we be true servants of the living God, serving him, obeying his voice, keeping his commandments, keeping his word. He will prosper us. Now you see, in prosperity, there's a building up, isn't it? A company that prospers, they grow, they build up. And this is really dovetailed, really. He will prosper us. And may it be so in our souls. Oh, real godly prosperity. If there's to be prosperity, like there was when soon after this chapel was built and throughout the 1800s, especially under those dear pastors then, Mr. Cowper, Mr. Drake, and then two, Mr. Vine, you know, over 800 here, walking, as I've said before, from Eastbourne and all over the land to hear the word. Their souls prospered, and then the church prospered. You know, we often pray for the Lord to prosper Zion and prosper the churches. Here, begin in the hearts of the Lord's dear people. When there's prosperity in the hearts of his dear people, there will be prosperity in the church and in the congregation. And here, the dear man, though it looked an impossibility, Nehemiah believed he will prosper us. And may we have that faith to believe it. You know, we could use several illustrations, but I must leave it really, but you think of how the Lord wonderfully prospered Peter's ministry when he went down to Cornelius' house. He prospered the souls in Cornelius' house, the Lord did, as Peter preached to them, the dear Redeemer. A precious Jesus. And all the prosperity, the growth there was, you see, it was all given by God. We have to prove continually, except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. The work must be the Lord's. And so it was here. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. And faith in Nehemiah believed it. And because faith was in gracious exercise, therefore, seeing this, we as servants will arise and build. And there was nothing that could stop them. God was with them. May the Lord bless the word. Amen.